Hey everyone, welcome back to the post-season episode of the Fantasy Football Addicts podcast. We are officially done with 2023. We have moved on to 2024, and we're just going to talk a little bit tonight about a few different things. And as usual, my name is Mung, and you guys can find me on Twitter or X at FFA_Mung. That's M-E-N-G.
Hey, Addicts, welcome back to another exciting episode, postseason edition. It is Los at FFA_Los on X. Hard to believe that we've made it this far, but I guess I sort of said that at the last episode, too. Time keeps on ticking away, but 2024 feels like it's going to be a really good year. I know you have started diving into some of the 24 rookies and some of the preseason heading into the next draft and everything. It's for many, this is the most exciting time. If you didn't win your league, then today is the most exciting time. Make this year yours.
Yeah, that's a particularly exciting time because we are recording Super Bowl week
right
before the Super Bowl. And I figure, you know, Los, we'll just have some fun with it tonight. We'll go through how our preseason predictions, our QB and running back and all the positional fades and values at ADP, how those calls went. We'll talk a little bit, of course, about the Super Bowl because that is on everyone's minds right now. And then like you said, we can talk a little bit about 2024. Obviously, a lot's going to change between February and August when people are really getting down to draft. But you know us, we're addicts, so we have to talk a little bit at least about 2024.
Yeah, this is always a bittersweet episode. It's like, oh yes, we've had a lot of fun, and now we get to go smack ourselves around for being so dumb.
Well, we were certainly dumb in some regards, smart in others. Just to recap, you beat me in the weekly pick'ems, but I beat you in our bets, so kind of a wash there. And let's just go through it. We'll start with the quarterback position as usual. We talked about a few guys we were fading. My fades were Patrick Mahomes being drafted as the QB1. That was certainly a good call, given how the Chiefs offense stalled a bit this year. I think he finished QB12, QB13 in points per game, right around there. So certainly those who pulled the trigger on Mahomes early in the second round, for the most part, that's where his ADP was, were not very happy with that.
No, and this was especially bad. We didn't like him and expected him to still put up, you know, top five quarterback numbers. So if you spent early on Mahomes, you probably didn't have much of a season unless you grabbed Stroud or something crazy late.
Yeah, it's one. I mean, there were certainly options on the waiver wire, right? Jordan Love came out of nowhere. Stroud really exploded. A couple other guys as well, but overall, it just goes to show.
Them over Mahomes.
Well, yeah. I hope you were after a few weeks of a sample size to see how much that Chiefs offense was struggling. But overall, this just goes to show, we always talk about the difference between fantasy production and on-field talent, right? Obviously, Mahomes is back in the Super Bowl, the best QB in the league right now. But there's a disconnect when rushing touchdowns are 6 points in most leagues and passing touchdowns are only four.
Right, exactly. I think mine was, what did I have, the Blues here?
Yeah, so I also faded Aaron Rodgers. You faded Joe Burrow. Those are tough calls because of the injuries. So, we'll just call those a push, right?
Yep. And then my final fade was Dak Prescott, round 6, 7, 84th overall. First half of the season, that was looking like a really, really good fade. But I think if you listen to any stretch of the podcast, you know we did start buying back in the latter half. So I'm not going to take an L on that because if you drafted him early in season, you were starting him in those first games. And that was no good.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, obviously in that first week blowout of the Giants, right, he did nothing under 10 points.
Right.
He had one good game before their week 7 bye. And then really, it's possible a lot of people dropped him before he really blew up over the second half of the season, right? In standard 10 or 12 team, one QB league, sometimes there are plenty of quarterbacks floating around on the waiver wire. And it just goes to show how really there can be two or even three seasons almost within a season for any given player, right?
Absolutely. And with much of the quarterback landscape probably staying pretty similar in terms of these vets next year, and then the surge of Jordan Love and these incoming rookies, we're probably going to have a very similar conversation next year as to what our fades are going to look like.
Yeah, it's going to be Mahomes yet again, right?
Yeah. Oh, no assuming, question about it.
Although I will say perhaps the disappointing season this past year might actually finally make his ADP a little bit more reasonable. Unless he just blows up in the Super Bowl.
We'll see. He's still Pat Mahomes. I think probably victim number one is going to be, or public enemy, I don't know. Person number one is probably going to be C.J. Stroud, just with all the excitement coming in. He's a pocket passer. He's young. He's got some mobility to him, but it's going to be very hard to cap the numbers that we saw from him last year. But, you know, we've got next year's preseason to talk about that.
Yeah, I'd throw out a guess that Josh Allen will be the QB1 in ADP.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And we'll see what happens behind that. But let's talk a little bit about some quarterbacks that we did like in the preseason that we thought were values. I liked Lamar Jackson at QB5. I thought he had a good shot to be the overall QB1. Didn't quite get there, but was pretty good overall. QB3 in points per game. Even though he had some down weeks, he really came through in the fantasy playoffs, especially in the championship week with, 36 points, right?
Yeah. It's another one of those ones where it's tough. I think I would have been very happy to have had Lamar Jackson for the season. You could find those spots, to plug in the holes there. But overall, not somebody who let you down at all. Top five finish.
Yeah, and unfortunately, my other QB value here was Anthony Richardson. Certainly was great when he was healthy, right? In those three full games, he was the fantasy QB3 in points per game, but unfortunately missed the majority of the season. And then, who are your two guys, Los?
My two were Justin Fields, who, spotty production when he was on, he was on. He put up a couple really nice finishes, I think. Like three or four quarterback three or better finishes 1 week as a quarterback one. He had that stretch with the injuries where he was down in the middle as well. So,
yeah. I mean, he did come through in the fantasy playoffs if you were able to stash him on IR, though.
Yeah, that's true. And then my other pick just going very late was Daniel Jones. Of course, tough to make anything of his season.
Yeah, we won't talk too much about 2024 just yet, but I do have a sneaky feeling I'll probably like Jones because he's going to be mostly just because he's going to be dead to everyone. Right.
He'll be quarterback 22 off the board.
Yeah, probably later than that. Right. He wasn't good even when he was healthy. Right. And then he got hurt. But really, I mean, their offensive line, I think they were down three or four of their starters in the first couple weeks when Jones was healthy.
Right. I expect them likely to bring back Saquon, and I expect them likely to spend early on a wide receiver. I think there's a lot of projections looking for them to go that way in this draft. So hopefully a better cast of characters around him if he hangs on another year.
Yeah, obviously we won't be going out of our way to draft Daniel Jones, but in best ball, two quarterback, or in deeper leagues where you do stash a backup quarterback, I think he'll be a value based on where his ADP is going to land. And I will say, before we moved on to the running backs, Los, I think already an early 2024 quarterback that I'm probably going to be fading is Jalen Hurts. With Jason Kelce retiring, don't know how good that offensive line is. The entire offensive line overall is getting older. And so much of his value was from those tush pushes, right? I don't know if the league's going to change any rules this offseason, but even if they continue allowing that play to happen, I don't know that their offensive line is going to be quite as dominant. And at some points, variance has to swing back in the way of whoever their running backs are, right? I can't count how many times DeAndre Swift or some of the wide receivers got stopped on like the two or 1 yard line.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see where this team heads in this offseason. Obviously, a very vocal fan and media base in Philadelphia, which does not accept losses lightly. So even though they had, you know, good relative success to have a Super Bowl loss last year and then an early, by all accounts, exit from the playoffs this year with Jalen Hurts and the offense sort of shorting out for that back half of the season. Who knows? We might see some changes. AJ Brown, I think he did the old delete all my Philadelphia Eagles references and whatnot. So we'll see.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to running backs then. I was fading Najee Harris, who was being drafted as the RB10. That certainly worked out well. Yeah. The Steelers in general were pretty poor on offense, and then he was splitting time with Jaylen Warren up until, you know, he really exploded down the stretch, though. I will say that. He's another guy where you were playing the matchups, and if you had the guts to start him in the fantasy championship week, he had a nice game there. Yeah. And then, unfortunately, my other call was pretty god awful because Travis Etienne, I was fading as the RB12. He really became a workhorse, which we did not see in the first year. Finished as what, the RB5, I think, in points per game. Yeah. RB6, something like that. And certainly he had a few down games here and there, but he was just an absolute touchdown machine, even with the Jaguars offense overall struggling. So it'll be interesting to see where Etienne gets drafted early in 2024. But for now, I'll definitely take the L on them.
Well, that said, he also slowed down tremendously in the second half of the season. The first half was supported by, I think it was a stretch of six games where he had two touchdowns in each game. Certainly not sustainable. We saw that in the back half of the season. So let people buy early on that overall running back three finish, because I'm sure not going to that well next year, and maybe I'll be wrong again. I can live with that. What I can't live with was my swing and a miss as an RB fade. Breece Hall finished the season as running back two, backed up by, you know, a very, very strong end of season. I believe my concern early pre-draft was taking him ahead of a number of the wide receivers at that value range. He was going 40 overall, running back 16. They had just brought Delvin Cook in on not a small amount of money. So was certainly expecting him to be a little more effective, and B, even if he wasn't super effective, take more of a chunk out of this offense. But Breece Hall, he got it done. Talent wins out despite Zach Wilson, despite the loss of Aaron Jones, and everything else going on that team.
I will say, Los, you lucked out, because this could have been an even bigger L had Aaron Rodgers stayed healthy and right. Jets offense had been clicking. But I mean, I was pretty high on Breece Hall, if I recall, but there was definitely that the risk, right, that he wasn't immediately going to be 100% from the ACL, which, again, we did see over the first few games of the year. He had a couple nice games before the bye in the second half of the season is when Hall really came on, but love him for next year. I will say, we'll talk about 2024 rankings. I have my top 12 more or less set up, and I think Breece Hall is my 101.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
I'm very high on a resurgent Jets offense, assuming Aaron Rodgers is healthy. And I think year two, fully recovered from that ACL, Breece Hall is ready for liftoff.
Yeah, it's going to take something massive to happen to knock Christian McCaffrey off that spot for me, but we shall see. And then my second running back was Josh Jacobs. Felt he was just being a bit overdrafted. Unfortunately, the bottom fell out on Josh Jacobs this past season, so I had that one, but I think he will probably be undervalued going into the next year, so he'll be a name to watch.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with the Raiders too, right? Because they can move on from Jacobs, or I believe they could tag him again.
I feel like everything Antonio Pierce has said about Josh Jacobs, even when Jacobs was out and Zamir White came in, he still stood by Jacobs, said he's our guy. So I expect more of the same. I really think this is where that offense is looking to run through.
Yeah, I think they want some semblance of continuity too, right? Yes. All right, let's move on then to the ADP values. I was very high on rookie running backs, especially Jahmyr Gibbs, who was being drafted as the RB14. That worked out pretty well, despite a slow start to the year and a couple of missed games as well. Gibbs still ended up finishing as the RB7 in PPR points per game. Definitely going to be drafted as a top 10, probably even top 5 running back come next August. So certainly nailed that one. Pretty happy about that. And then my other pick, kind of lukewarm. I feel like we saw some flashes from Tyjae Spears, but obviously Derrick Henry stayed healthy the entire year. And then he just wasn't getting enough work. So we talked about Spears, I feel like, every single week on the podcast as a handcuff to stash. Yeah. And it just never quite panned out. But he was being drafted as the RB62. So if you took a shot on him super late or grabbed him off waivers, I don't think you necessarily got burned by that pick either.
No, talk about a handcuff to stash that did not work out. And I'm not really certain what his future has in store. Tank Bigsby, I was in with you on fading Travis Etienne because of the coaching situation, how he's utilized running backs in the past, because I think we both liked Tank's production a little more, thought he would bring a little more to the table in the NFL. He might be a Deuce Vaughn type of, or a Keyshawn Vaughn type of play going forward. So
yeah, he didn't look great there.
No, fumbled the opportunities that he had. Probably tried to do a little too much, thinking he could find a chunk out of that offense. But yeah, unfortunately, that's the way of life for running backs. It can
part
be.
Of the rationale was that Doug Peterson too historically has favored a committee approach, right? So it was surprising to see Etienne get so much of the work. But I think really it's just a knock on Bigsby because they did split out the work a little bit. Just they trusted Darius Johnson over Tank Bigsby, which is never a good sign. So probably a fade. If you're in any dynasty leagues, maybe get out while you can on Bigsby for just about anything you can get at this point.
Yeah, you find somebody who still has that that young player fever, you know, big fan of him in college or something like that. Somebody who would have taken him. You know, a lot of people were talking about taking him back end of the first round, which I don't think many leagues ended up with that, but could have been.
And not if you listen to me. I was all on Bot Achan. So
there you go. There you go. And then my other swing and a miss was Javonte Williams. Of course, a little bit was that supported by his injuries, but gosh, he's another player that I am concerned about going forward. I think, granted, he was going running back 28, so outside of running back 2, I don't hate it I don't hate that sort of play as a swing for the fences in an offense that did look better this year than the year before. And he finished, I think, running back 29. So if you took him at value, he didn't help you, but he didn't ruin your season.
Yeah. And I think he might be another guy who could end up being a post type sleeper in 2024, right? Because people who did roll the dice on Javonte got burned last year, but 2 years removed from the major knee injury, maybe he gets back up to speed.
Certainly not being looked at the way he was 2 years ago, though.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, but again, if his ADP is in the running back 30s, 40s, then...
And it probably will be.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying. I think, like Daniel Jones, like I'm not excited to go and get Javonte Williams, but if he falls far enough, I think the upside is still there.
Right. Yeah, Broncos have a lot to do this season, because Wilson's like still on the roster, but we know they're getting rid of him, or is he actually officially off the team?
No, I mean, they can part ways with him, and it seems like they are definitely considering that possibly, considering that they benched him to make sure that they weren't on the hook in case he got injured and guarantee him money. So we'll see about that.
Okay, so he's still on. I'm sure there's some contractual date they have to reach for something.
Yeah, I mean, it could be traded again when free agency is going on, so we'll see.
Fair enough. Yeah, maybe a Fields and Wilson swap.
We'll see about that. But yeah, certainly this is one of the teams where a lot can change between now and August, right?
Right.
All right, let's move on to the wide receiver position. My two fades were Christian Watson, who was being drafted as the wide receiver 24. Again, obviously, he didn't work out, but I'm not going to claim to know that he was going to be injured all season long, so we'll call that one a push. And then I was fading DK Metcalf, who was being drafted 32nd overall as the wide receiver 15. And let's see, Metcalf finished
21.
Yeah, so I don't mind the call. He definitely had some good games here and there, but certainly didn't live up to expectations. I will say I like Metcalf heading into 2024, especially if Seattle ends up moving on from Tyler Lockett, because if the target volume is really divided into bigger slices between just Metcalf and JSN, I think he can still be a strong wide receiver two option. I think both of them could.
Yep. We'll, of course, need to see what the plan is at quarterback with the new coaching staff coming in and what that offense is going to instill. But he's the big type alpha receiver that you'd like to see that has 10-plus touchdown sort of upside. Certainly expect Lockett to take that step back a little bit. And JSN is not, I mean, obviously phenomenal talent, hasn't quite made his name in the NFL just yet, but not the kind of player, in my opinion, to detract from that DK Metcalf, you know, Mike Evans style game. Evans never really topped more than 80. Even this year, he had a phenomenal finish. I think he didn't even hit 80 receptions, you know? So that's the sort of season we could get out of Metcalf here and there.
Yeah, he's the big play guy, the touchdown guy. He's going to be a little boom or bust, but when he booms, he's going to win the week.
Yeah. He sure is. Here's a guy who didn't win too many weeks for you. I had faded Devontae Smith. He was going at the wide receiver 12. That's a wide receiver one for those keeping tally at home. I think he finished in the mid wide receiver two range. So certainly not killing you, but there was a statistic I saw somewhere where just both he and AJ Brown together had so few games that you could count on both of them producing at the same time. Gosh, I wish I could dig that stat up, but I'm happy with that call. Certainly didn't tank your season, but
not a wide receiver one or even a reliable wide receiver two.
Right. And then big miss of mine. I'm an Ross St. Brown wide receiver 10. He should have went much higher than he went. Count me as a believer now. You're never going to get me in the top five finishing camp, but I'd certainly like him as a back end wide receiver one. I'll never get to draft him there, but I believe that said, I do think Jameson Williams will detract a little more next year.
All right, let's move on to the wide receiver values. My first one certainly did not work out here. Marquise Brown, I was very high on. He actually did pretty well in the early part of the season with the Pastrnak, but unfortunately, you know, got hurt second half of the season, and Kyler Murray just never really established that connection with him. I believe Brown's a free agent, so we'll see what the Cardinals end up doing with him. We saw 2 years ago, he did have some rapport with Kyler, and they obviously have that deep ball connection. So ideally, I would like to see Marquise Brown back with the Cardinals. He's another guy that I would like to draft in the double digit rounds if his ADP really falls next year, because we know that he does still have that upside, but certainly did not work out in 2023. And then the other guy that I was really high on was a rookie, and Zay Flowers did come through a little bit. He was still inconsistent for the most part, but over the second half of the season really came on strong in the fantasy playoffs as well. He's a guy who's going to be drafted much higher than wide receiver 47 as a rookie.
No question about it. My wide receiver values, number one this year was Keenan Allen, who was going at wide receiver 19. I think we all know finished what is a wide receiver one, wide receiver eight on the metrics I'm looking at right now. Certainly a nice pick.
Points per game, wide receiver three. So very nice.
There we go. Thank you. And then not as nice of a call, Tyler Lockett going off at 29, finished the season, I think 32. Didn't fully expect Geno Smith to pumpkin out on us all the way. So I'm going to blame Geno on that one, though. Took away probably the final possibly relevant year of Tyler Lockett's fantasy career.
Yeah, we'll see. I think he'll be a good contributor somewhere, but I don't know that he's going to be a fantasy player to target outside of, you know, DFS and the right matchups here and there.
Right.
All right, let's move on to the tight end position then. My first fade here, it looks like, was Evan Engram, which probably, I haven't looked him up just yet, but probably not the greatest call because he did pretty well.
Tight end two.
And yeah, well, I was looking at points per game.
Right. Yeah.
But, end of season. You know, tight end five, still top five, certainly right. was very reliable week in, week out. So poor call by me there. Again, this was kind of just going back to the whole, we expected Calvin Ridley to be good story, sure which did. Seems so, week so far ago good. In the past. Yeah. A lot of victory laughing after week one, which yep. I'm sure it'll happen again next season, but remember it's a long season, right?
Yep.
And then the other guy who I faded did end up being a good call. The disappointment with Arthur Smith was felt across multiple players, but especially Kyle Pitts, who I'd have to scroll yeah. way down. He's outside what, the top 15 yeah. tight ends. Jonnu Smith, I want to say, probably had some bigger games than Kyle Pitts.
He absolutely did.
So hopefully we'll see. The hope is that Zach Robinson, who came over from the Rams, will help revitalize this offense. We'll see who's the quarterback as well. Maybe Justin Fields, maybe somebody else. But at the very worst, we can't imagine this passing attack being worse than it was under Arthur Smith this past year.
Right. My first fade was TJ Hockenson, who finished the season as tight end four. He was coming off the board at tight end three. I'm curious what your thought is on this. So my argument against him wasn't that he wasn't going to finish at tight end three. It's where he's going in the draft relative to what you can get later in the draft relative to the wide receivers and running backs coming off the board. So I'm not upset seeing him finish as high as he did. I was expecting it, but what's your thought?
Yeah, it's interesting because part of it was that Justin Jefferson missed time, right? And that right. really pumped up his target volume. It's really hard to play that what-if game because then Kirk Cousins got hurt too. And we just really don't know what the season would have looked like had both Jefferson and Cousins both stayed healthy. I think tight end three probably would have been a tad too high for him. But again, it is what it is, and certainly he worked out for those who drafted him, at least up through, you know, when he got hurt in week 16.
To me, it's still about opportunity cost. I mean, Evan Ingram, who you could have gotten multiple rounds later, finished higher. David Njoku was practically there. Trey McBride, Sam Laporta. So, yeah, I don't know.
I don't think it was a bad call because I believe I was a little bit lower than consensus on Hockenson, if I can remember from 5 months ago.
Yeah.
Wasn't like a hard fade for me, but I certainly preferred some of the other guys, Andrews.
And then my second fade was George Kittle, who I'm looking at his numbers right now. I cannot believe that he finished the season as tight end five. How did that happen? So quiet. How did I not even notice that? So I guess I whiffed on that one too.
It's the same story every year. Kittle, right? He's the most boom bust of these potentially elite tight ends where he's going to have those 50 point weeks where he just destroys your opponent. And then he's going to have the weeks where Purdy, you know, throws three passes to him and he catches one for like 12 yards.
Yeah. He started the season as tight end 26 and 32. And then week four was 45. I'm still pretty happy to pass on him, and I'll pass on him again next year.
Yeah. It depends on his ADP, but certainly he's, you know, a lot of people have the trope of the quote unquote better and best ball type players, but for sure, George Kittle is one of them, right? Because in best ball, you automatically get those massive weeks without having to worry about the duds.
Yeah, I mean, where he finished right now, he's going to go off in the back of the fourth round again next year. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I'll say positionally, I think he's fine where he gets ranked. It's just overall, right, where there are probably running backs and wide receivers I would rather take a chance on in that middle round range and then just worry about tight end if I haven't drafted one of the elite guys.
No doubt, especially next year where it's looking like we've got, you know, three young promising tight ends, McBride, Kincaid, and McBride, Kincaid, and who did I just forget?
Laporta.
I mean, yeah, Laporta, duh, coming up, and then who knows what sort of thing we'll see out of Bowers next year. He'll be an interesting name to watch.
Yeah, I'm sure his ADP will be hyped up because we have the rookie tight ends who did perform this year.
Right.
So the expectations are going to be even higher for him. Without the usual people who are going to be like, cool, you know, temporary expectations. So he's a rookie.
Yep.
All right. My first tight end value was Mark Andrews, who was being drafted as the tight end too, but I argued was still a value that didn't quite work out. Certainly, Lamar Jackson didn't look his way enough. He did have some nice games for a stretch, and then, of course, he got hurt towards the end of the season. At the end of the day, he didn't kill you. He was still the tight end 4 points per game, but unfortunately, you had to look elsewhere for the fantasy playoffs. And then this call worked out marvelously. Sam LaPorta, who was being drafted as the tight end 19. I was high on that Lions offense overall, which certainly worked out. And I will say, also, my honorable mention was Luke Musgrave. And he wasn't too bad either. He came through in a pinch, right? And then, of course, Kraft came on when he got hurt. But it'll be interesting to see how that Green Bay situation shakes out next year.
Yeah, a lot of young options in that team. Nobody really establishing. I would say Reed the most right now. And then we have my values at ADP, which I think you agreed on with me at Darren Waller. Obviously didn't work out for a number of reasons. Daniel Jones going down, the Giants offense taking a step back. That one didn't work out so well. And then Dalton Schultz came off the board, tight end 11, finished the season, I think, at tight end 10, 11. I don't have his per game numbers in front of me, but I'm happy with him there. And I think he'll be similarly looked past next year. He's tied to CJ Stroud should be another year and should be another nice season for him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting with Darren Waller because, like Daniel Jones, my initial thought is that no one's going to want him. And I don't necessarily want Darren Waller either. But if he's there, you know, round 12, something crazy like that, right? In the double digits where you're just taking swings. If you missed out on, you know, the Andrews, LaPorta, those super early guys, then, you know, he still has that volume upside if he can actually stay healthy, which, again, no one's betting on, but it's all about the ADP, right?
No, certainly. And it certainly depends on who the Giants go with in the first or second round of the NFL draft.
Yep. All right. So overall, we had some hits. We had some misses. I think generally speaking, a lot of these positions overall are going to be shifting, right? Where does Travis Kelce go next year? I'm sure his ADP is going to be the lowest it's ever been, or at least over the last 5 years, right? TJ Hockenson might not be ready to start week one, which is certainly going to drop his ADP. And depending on where it lands, he could either be a value or a fade for us come August. We'll see where we are with him by the time that show rolls around. And tight end's going to be an interesting position in general because where does Brock Bowers go and how early does he get drafted, right, after LaPorta's rookie success?
Right. Certainly expect Dalton Kincaid to take some of that late season success and parlay it into something with the fade away we've seen from Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, and then, you know, we didn't even talk about guys like Njoku and Trey McBride who came on over the second half of the year. But again, a lot of these are going to be somewhat quarterback dependent, right? If Pitts gets a quarterback paired with Zach Robinson, maybe we're back in on him at ADP. We'll see, too, about, you know, those fringe guys that we talk about, right? Cole Kmet, who can have some big games here and there, depending on what the Bears do. So a lot of interesting options, I'm sure. By the time August rolls around, we'll have all fooled ourselves once again into thinking that tight end is deep. And then it's going to be 4 reliable guys and then everybody else.
Yep. And one thing, thankfully, about this playoff circuit, granted, we have one game left, so maybe I shouldn't say this, but I think we escaped pretty unscathed in terms of the playoffs leading to anybody to miss early season next year, unless there's something I'm not thinking of.
Yeah, I mean, Hockenson got hurt late, and then Tyler Higbee, but he wasn't really fantasy, super fantasy relevant.
Right.
All right, that's going to wrap up our 2023 review of how we did with our preseason calls. Let's talk a little bit about what everyone is excited about this week, close to the Super Bowl. And I'd like to hear your thoughts, I guess, because a lot of people are not happy to see the Chiefs again in the Super Bowl. A lot of people don't want to see, they want to see the Lions, but as far as the game goes, I thought that this was the best possible matchup of the four remaining teams, or at least that I thought would be the best game.
Yeah, I expect him to open with "You Got It Bad," then move on to a little bit of "Hey Daddy." Oh, you mean you want to talk about the actual game? I thought you meant what people were excited for.
Well, that too, right?
I'm actually looking forward to this matchup. It's obviously going to be, you know, the one seed from the NFC against the Chiefs again, who've been there more times than people want them to be. Everybody's, or I shouldn't say everybody, but because certainly not you, but a lot of people are getting annoyed with the Taylor Swift pump up, the Travis Kelce. People have turned on Kermit, quote unquote, or turned on Pat Mahomes. He's still my guy. So I'm excited for him to have another showing, looking forward to him trying to make another step forward on catching Tom Brady with the crown for the greatest of all time, the GOAT. In terms of the matchup itself, I think on paper, it does look like position by position, other than quarterback, the Niners do have the better team, but the Chiefs have just been there so many times. Kelce knows how to find spots no matter what the defense is. Mahomes, and to me, it comes down to a Mahomes versus Purdy question. And to me, that's hands down Mahomes now, no matter how he looked this season. I expect the Chiefs to win a close game.
I honestly, I haven't fully decided where I'm at. I'm trying not to be too biased because I did my heaviest bet team in the preseason to win the Super Bowl was the Niners. And it's tough for me to try and be objective because I don't know where that line is, right? Obviously, I know I have that vested interest. And looking at it, I think it's not really going to come down to Purdy versus Mahomes. I think it's more McCaffrey versus Mahomes, because to me, if the Niners are going to win this game, it's going to be with a heavy, heavy dose of Christian McCaffrey, because throughout the entire playoffs, I mean, we've seen that you can run on the Chiefs, right? And certainly the Niners defense isn't as good as it has been in past years. But looking at how the Chiefs got to this point, they played a Dolphins team where basically half their defense was on IR by that point in the season, right? The Bills clawed back, credit to them, that they were able to turn their season around entirely and make it to the playoffs. But again, we're talking about a Buffalo team where their pretty much entire starting defense, all their big playmakers were on IR, right? Tre'Davious White, Matt Milano, and they cobbled together a defense, but certainly that's where Kelce did whatever he wanted to. And then the Ravens were on paper, they should have taken care of business, but obviously, you know, that's why we watched the game, right? Because rosters on paper don't matter when it comes down to getting that 1 inch, that 3 inches. And to me, my biggest critique was that we saw a few flashes from Lamar running, from Gus Edwards having one or two big runs early on, and they really abandoned the run in the second half, even though they were only down one score or two scores at most, you know, midway through the third quarter, right? They were throwing it a ton. And obviously, if Zay Flowers, you know, he's a rookie, made a rookie mistake, he'll be back next year. He'll be a great player. But reaching out on the goal line, fumbling that ball, that's a game where I think if they had been able to keep it close and actually, you know, continue running the ball, I think that game would have been a much closer than it actually turned out to be. And I do think that as much as Kyle Shanahan trusts Brock Purdy more than he did Jimmy Garoppolo, he knows that Christian McCaffrey is that playmaker who can be the difference in this game. And we've seen in the playoffs that they have taken off all the snap counts for Christian McCaffrey, until he, you know, injured his neck on that weird tackle. He played 100% of the touches in the backfield. Yeah, I think if the Niners win this game, McCaffrey's going to have, 150 yards from scrimmage and two touchdowns, something along those lines?
Yeah, going to have to be something along those lines, no question.
Yeah, I will say, since this is more of a fun episode, not so deep into the fantasy analytics and the metrics, a little bit of the debate between Brady and Mahomes. I want to hear where you stand, Los, and then I'll explain my thoughts real quick first, where I would say that Mahomes is probably the most talented quarterback in the history of the NFL. Mm-hmm. But in terms of, you know, accomplishments and greatness, I would still put Brady ahead. I would say that Mahomes, of anyone right now, could definitely catch up. But to this point, I don't really understand all the debates where he's already the GOAT.
Well, that's just because the talking heads need to say something crazy like that to get the people riled up. No, Mahomes has to play until he's got to hit 30 first. In terms of his age, and then he's got to play, I think, at least until 34 to even be in the discussion, no matter what the rest of his accomplishments are. And he certainly has a lot more Super Bowls to play in and win. Brady landed up with, was it six victories?
Seven total, six with New England.
Six with New England, and then one with the Bucks. So this, if he were to win this year, this would be Mahomes' third. Obviously, he's earlier in his career than Brady was with Brady's third Super Bowl victory. I'm pretty certain about that.
Because Brady won the two very early on.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, there were two, and then they had to wait. And then
I think that's part of the what people are already projecting. Like, oh, Mahomes is going to be in the Super Bowl every year. And yeah, certainly, I wouldn't bet against that. But look at with Brady and Belichick. Right. He had the 1 year with ACL tear, and then he had some dominant seasons, but they just didn't make it. It's hard to make it to the Super Bowl, you know?
I don't think either of us had the Chiefs to pick to make the Super Bowl this year, did we?
No, but I will say if my dark horse pick had the Ravens not made it, was going to be the Chiefs, because I think the Bills were being overhyped.
You can't count them out. Yeah. You can't count them out, but...
But yeah, I mean, as long as they have Mahomes, anything is possible, right? Like Kevin Garnett says. Right. All right, let's get back to the game then real quick. So right now, let's see. The lines moved around quite a bit. It opened at 3, I think, and then it quickly moved down. It was down to 1 at some spots at a lot of places. It went back up to 2.5, and now it's settled at around 2, and we're recording on Monday night, so there could still be a lot of shifts over the next few days.
And you're saying with the Niners have been favored the whole way through, correct?
Yes, it's San Francisco -2 right now, and the over under is still sitting at 47.5, and that hasn't moved much since it opened. It went down quickly, I think, from 48 or 49, and then it hasn't moved from 47.5 since.
It seems like a good line. It feels very reasonable.
It's interesting because a lot's being made of how good this Chiefs defense is, but I still think this is going to be a pretty high scoring back and forth game. I still like the over here.
Yeah, 40. I also like the over. The Chiefs defense started off very strong. They're certainly the best Chiefs defense we've seen in recent history. Certainly the best Chiefs defense Mahomes has had. Super Bowl, the offenses are going to be coming to play. Two very good offenses. And then on the other side of the ball, I think that I think the Eagles defense last year is better than the Niners defense of this year. Oh, yeah. Maybe I'm waiting. Yeah. So that also plays into my lean towards the Chiefs taking the victory here.
Yeah, I think right now, I've been playing around with some scenarios. My early prediction is Niners 33, Chiefs 31. Okay. So a very close victory. I think it really is going to come down to McCaffrey because. Yeah. At the end of the day, we can talk about how Purdy's not as experienced in these spots, right? And he's looked a little shaky against the Packers and the Lions. It's kind of miraculous that the Niners have even made it through those games where they were trailing in the second half in both of those. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Purdy was clutch enough when he needed to be. And it comes back to, you know, obviously this is a rematch of, what was it, 2018, 5 years ago?
Right.
And the Niners had every opportunity to win that game. And Garoppolo missed on a deep throw to Ayuk. And maybe we get another crazy deflection catch from Ayuk on one of those late game bombs. But I think Purdy is enough of an upgrade over Garoppolo to, you know, maybe not turn the ball over as much or not have as many negative plays to put him into third and longs. And again, that's what, 5 years ago, they did not have Debo. I think he was hurt then, right? Yeah, it'll be really interesting because we all know Shanahan's choked twice now, right, in Super Bowls. And hopefully that was a learning experience. All the trends are when Andy Reid has, you know, 2 weeks to prepare, he's great against the spread and straight up. Right. This is, again, I just think this is the best possible outcome we could have gotten for the Super Bowl this year in terms of having the two best teams matching up together.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it. Like I said, I think we're going to find out a lot about Brock. Not that we don't know enough about him already, but playing in the Super Bowl is a whole different ball of wax. And to go from Mr. Irrelevant and then starting in a Super Bowl with that Chiefs defense on the other side coming after you, Frank Clark, George Karlaftis. We're going to find out in that first half how much poise he's going to have, because all the media circus and everything to get through and being in Vegas and everything, it takes a lot to be a pro.
Yeah. And plus I will say the one other thing is, as good as the Chiefs defense has been against the pass, they have struggled a little bit on play action. And that's really kind of the bread and butter, right? With Kyle Shanahan using McCaffrey to really set up those big plays downfield, or getting McCaffrey the ball in space and letting him work underneath and do the dirty work after the catch, right?
Yep. So it sounds like we are slightly on opposite sides of the opposite sides of the win loss column, but expect a similar game. It may just come down to, you know, the final drive of the game.
Yeah, I do think it's going to be close either way. I don't necessarily see a blowout by either team here.
Yep.
All right, that is going to wrap up our Super Bowl coverage. Let's talk a little bit about 2024 then, Los, because even though we're still half a year out, I think there's already a lot to discuss. And this will be a shameless plug. I will be posting my top 12 overall fantasy rankings for 2024 on Fantrax over the next few days, over the next week or so, probably a day or two after the Super Bowl. And yeah, like I kind of prefaced earlier in the podcast, Los, I do have Breece Hall currently at the 101 spot.
Jeez, wow.
yeah, just super high on the talent, plus, you know, hopefully the Jets offense finally clicking. Nothing too crazy at 102 and 103 at Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase.
Okay.
104 McCaffrey. And I, like you said, I think there's nothing wrong with anyone taking McCaffrey at 101, right? Just an absolute model of efficiency and consistency. 12 RB1 finishes this past year. Zero games of less than 10 PPR points. So he never killed you in any given week. Yeah, the only thing I'm really taking account is he's going to be 28, and we've seen that as good as running backs are, there is a drop off once they hit that age. Right, Eckler kind of disappeared this past year in his age 28 season, and again, I'm not saying that McCaffrey doesn't buck the trend. He is certainly the exception to the rule, but I think there's enough of a risk there where I factored that in, dropped him just a couple spots, still top five overall. And then 105 right now, I've got CeeDee Lamb, which I think there's an argument for him to be higher.
An argument for all of those to be the 101.
Yeah. And, you know, and Tyreek Hill, right, in that same tier.
Sure.
And right after Tyreek Hill at 107, I have Puka. And 108, I have Amon-Ra St. Brown. So, again, I think all these guys are fairly safe picks. Behind that is kind of where I think we're going to see some variances in drafts depending on the league. Right now I have Kyron Williams at 109.
Yeah, I was curious where he was going to slot, because I thought I was going to hear two more running back names by now, him and probably your next pick is going to be Jonathan Taylor, I would imagine.
No, not at all, it's Bijan.
We don't know a thing about that offense, but okay.
I know that Arthur Smith is gone.
That's true. That's true. And Bijan is Bijan, and he did hold his own with a nice top 10 finish despite all of the everything he had to get through.
Yeah, let's talk about Jonathan Taylor in a little bit, because I have an inkling that I'm going to be a little lower on him than consensus already, for this much of the same reasons I was last year. But let me round out the top 12.
Yeah, Kyren.
We can kind of go into it. So Kyren, Bijan at 109, 110. I've got AJ Brown at 111. I think he stays in Philadelphia. And even though that entire Eagles offense really trailed off the second half of the year, he was still the number six wide receiver in PPR points per game. So certainly we hope that the Eagles offense resembles their early season in 2023, not the late in 2024. Yes. But I'm still high on AJ Brown. And then 112, again, projecting for a healthy Aaron Rodgers. I have Garrett Wilson at 112.
Wow.
A lot of people kind of projected him into that Davante Adams type target volume last year. And I do think that that's something we could have seen had Rodgers stayed healthy. We just never got to. And whatever off-field controversies surround Rodgers come August, when he is on the field, he is a top-10 quarterback. And I think that's enough to lift Garrett Wilson into the back end of the first round for me.
But what if Davante Adams finds Davante Adams in the Davante Adams role in New York?
I've heard whispers. I don't see that happening. I don't think so.
Yeah.
And
although Rodgers dragged Randall Cobb all over the world with him.
Yeah. I mean, Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard might be back. We'll see.
Yeah.
A few names too that I considered, Jahmyr Gibbs, right? Obviously, we've seen the talent. I just don't have him in that top 12 with David Montgomery, who's still going to vulture a few touches and touchdowns here and there. Devon Achane, obviously, we know that he could finish as the top scoring player in all of fantasy next year. But, we still have to see how that Miami offensive line shakes out health-wise and then what the workload split is going to be. But I will say, I think it's actually for the best if Achane continues to be a complimentary guy who has huge games, because I do think he would wear down if they actually tried to give him a bigger workload. So I think 55% of the touches would be enough for him to be a clear top 10, top 5-ish fantasy running back next year. And then I've got Mark Andrews and Sam LaPorta right there.
Situation.
Yeah, for sure. So no tight ends for me in the first round. As of right now, I've got Andrews and LaPorta in that early second range. Early thoughts. Obviously, you think I'm a little jumping the gun a little bit with Breece Hall, but I think I want to project forward, and we'll see how that works out for me.
Hey, go buy him. Go get him, right? That's the way you got to play the game, is get ahead of the curve, get ahead of the information before everybody else around you catches up. And certainly bowing out of the season the way they did unceremoniously, questions always will be around Aaron Rodgers. We think he's going to come back, but who knows? Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. But if you truly believe that, go get him. Go get him, especially if you're looking at him at RB1. Certainly think you're a bit on the back end in terms of Jonathan Taylor. When he came back, when he was healthy, I don't see Zach Moss chipping away quite as much as we saw this season here. You love that coaching staff there. I think you're a fan of that offense. So and we like Anthony Richardson and what a rushing quarterback does for a running back. So I'm pretty surprised for you to dip into the top of your second and still not be talking about Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, so I guess let me explain that a little bit. Sure. He certainly had a good second half of the season when he was healthy, right? When he came back in week six, in terms of points per game, he was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, RB12 in PPR points per game.
Oh, wow, that feels low. Jeez.
Like you said, obviously, I think he takes on that lead role over Moss more clearly once he has the full offseason to be at 100%. But this is why I was lower than consensus on Taylor heading into this past season, is even though I'm high on the offense with Shane Steichen and Anthony Richardson, I do think that Richardson's ability to run, one, takes away from potential target volume I don't think we'll see quite as many checkdowns as we saw from Gardner Minshew, right? And Minshew's a guy who can run a little bit too, but not like Richardson. No. And then two, we saw when Richardson was healthy in those three full games, they used him a ton at the goal line. And maybe partially because Taylor was out at that point early in the season. But I still think that it's going to Richardson being the quarterback is going to, one, cap the number of receptions and receiving yards for Jonathan Taylor, just fewer opportunities in the passing game. And two, he's still going to get plenty of goal line work, Taylor is. Right. But I do think that Richardson's going to vulture, what, 4, 5, 6 rushing touchdowns, which, you know, that adds up in terms of fantasy production.
Yeah, possibly more. Granted, the Texans have taken a step forward on defense. So overall, that division is a little more stout on defense. Expect them to, I expect them to try and shore that up coming into next season too. So that number does feel about right. You could hear arguments that maybe they'll try and protect Richardson more, but I don't think so. I think I agree with you. He's the kind of player that you're not going to want to go out there and be timid. His confidence is going to come from being an athlete, from rushing, from playing the game the way he feels it in his body. So
I will say he'll still get receptions, right? Because McCaffrey got receptions playing with Cam Newton, so it's not like Jonathan Taylor's not going to catch the ball. I just don't think he has that elite upside because
I get it.
Second round for Jonathan Taylor. Maybe I just won't be getting him anywhere if his ADP is in the first round. But again, we'll see. I'm sure we'll talk about it in our preseason values and fades show, right?
Oh, yeah. There is so much to cut. Maybe I'm just forgetting the prior seasons, but this preseason, more than many others, feels even bigger to me, just with all the rookies coming in. And it's pretty much the current running back landscape that has me excited. Like the way that the shift in the NFL is with these running backs, we see Raheem Mostert able to put up a top five running back season again out of nowhere. He could be running back 35 next year, right? We don't know. Joe Mixon, James Conner able to cobble through really nice seasons. We haven't even talked about Rashad White. I mean, it feels like we're terribly disrespecting him. Top five running back season, not even his name out of our mouths, but he's a guy who could fall off a cliff completely, just depending on what that team does.
Yeah, White will be an interesting one too, because so much of his production was reliant on some of those checkdowns, right? A lot of receiving work.
He could go the way of Leonard production, Fournette.
But right, but at the same time, right, if he continues in that Alvin Kamara-esque role, then that's exactly what we want out of him in Tampa, for fantasy purposes, at least.
Right.
I mean, obviously, again, a lot we don't know about quarterback situations. That's going to be one of the biggest factors. But overall, yeah. I mean, anyone else you're particularly higher or lower on names that I mentioned in the top 12?
No, I like your top 12. It feels pretty good. I am real pumped to hear Puka that high in your top 12. I don't know if that was just to puff me up a little bit, make me feel a little excited. That feels high, but I like it.
I mean, is it given what he was able to accomplish, right, as a rookie? Broke the records for receptions and receiving yards, but more importantly, you know, the underlying metrics, because only 6 touchdowns, right? We expect that to regress to the mean given his volume. Mm-hmm. Yeah. On top of that, 6th in yards per out run, 9th in yards after the catch per reception, so a very efficient receiver combined with the volume. And Cooper Kupp, another year older, I think Puka cements himself as that 1A in Los Angeles, and as long as Stafford's healthy, we know Stafford can deal.
I love it. I hope you're right. I watched basically every snap Puka had in every game this year. Tremendous player. It's just still hard to internalize and believe and understand that the NFL missed on him so hard, and that part of it is that I grabbed him on the waiver wire, right, in the Dynasty League, and I have a little bit of disbelief in that I was able to get that sort of asset for nothing. So I'm just waiting for the bottom to drop out.
Hey, I grabbed Kyren Williams. He's not too far behind Puka, right? I think it again just goes back to the mantra overall drafting, whether it's redraft dynasty. We want these high potential assets on good offenses, right? With good play callers. Right. Basically the entire Kyle Shanahan tree. McVay, Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, look at what he's been able to do. We'll see what Zach Robinson can do in Atlanta. Maybe that's part of the reason that I have Bijan at 110, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I know the NFL misses all the time. I think Antonio Brown was a fifth rounder. We see it all the time, but to go from nothing to the top five, top four wide receiver, the best rookie of the year in a year that we talked about the rookie class as an earth moving rookie class, right?
Yeah. And again, I think people have to remember that the playoffs can be predictive in terms of usage and whatever else, but it doesn't matter that much, right? I think I'm going to be much higher than consensus on Lamar Jackson because people will have that loss fresh in their minds, right? Yeah. But he was a clear elite top five fantasy quarterback. And just because he chokes in the playoffs has absolutely nothing to do with how he's going to produce in the regular season next year.
He does great in the regular season.
And I feel like the consensus number one tight end is going to be LaPorta next year. But I would rather have Mark Andrews slightly above him, very slightly, but we'll see how that goes.
You think Kelsey's going to fall that far? Wow.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, he should because of his age, right? And LaPorta had a tremendous, tremendous season. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I don't think he should fall that far, and I don't think he will. But if Kelsey does fall beyond a certain point, then he becomes a value because, like I said, at the very, his floor would be late career Jason Witten, right? Where he's still going to be a trusted red zone target. And they're going to open up the offense a little bit more by adding receiving talent so they can't just take away Kelsey. So
no matter what, he's still Mahomes' number one wide receiver next year.
Yeah, I can't imagine Kelsey falling past tight end six-ish.
Yeah, no way.
Because you can, let's see, LaPorta, unless he retires, Andrews.
That's the only wrinkle, of course.
Well, okay. LaPorta, Andrews. I can't imagine taking Hockenson over Kelsey without knowing if he's ready for week one, right?
I wouldn't even if he was.
I could see the argument for McBride over Kelsey. Njoku and Kittle, maybes. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I mean, maybe Brock Bowers if you're super high and have to concede. But, 6 and 7 at the very lowest for Kelsey next year.
Yeah, I think he's still number three for me.
And maybe he will be. I just haven't gotten that far. But I'm saying at the absolute lowest, he would be 6 or 7.
No, that sounds right.
And I don't think consensus would let him fall past there anyway.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Quarterback, again, is going to be deeper than ever with Kyler Murray healthy. Jordan Love came on this year. CJ Stroud's hot. And then you still have Burrow, Herbert, all those guys. And it's going to be another wait on quarterback type of year, I think, in one QB.
No question. Yeah, a lot of really good, really deep options.
I'm sure.
And then we have potentially Jaden Daniels adding to the Anthony Richardson type of player.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I'm sure you're going to open our August preseason show with fading Mahomes yet again.
No question.
A perennial tradition where Mahomes is overdrafted, not because he's not a good quarterback, but simply because the fantasy value isn't there.
Yeah. I think it's worth asking. What do you think about Josh Allen was the quarterback one this year, I think, right? From a pre-draft standpoint, and he finished the season as quarterback one. Do you think it's worth drafting him there? He might have been quarterback two.
I think that's fine. I think he will be the consensus, and I wouldn't argue against it, but I think Lamar is going to be my QB1. Yeah. Year two of Mocking System. Hopefully with a healthy Andrews and Flowers, and maybe they add another weapon in the offseason, right? Remember, we were super excited about this pass offense too, and they just didn't pass much because they were winning so much in the second half. And Mike McDonald, the defensive coordinator, is gone. So maybe the defense takes a little bit of a step back.
Maybe T. Higgins wants to shake the shadow, goes across the division to Baltimore.
That would be fun. I don't think it'll happen, but that would be super
fun. No way.
But all right, let's wrap it up here. I think this was a super fun, more relaxed show, right? You guys are used to us talking about all these stats and season, all that. And certainly we want to help you win, but it's fun to just regroup in the postseason here. And we'll be taking our annual off-season break. Maybe we'll throw in a dynasty show if we have time. But you can find us on everywhere that podcasts are made, Los. We'll be back soon, so make sure you guys are subscribed. Take them through where they can find us.
Yep, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, Anchor, all the normal, common, well-known streaming platforms. Go ahead and hit the follow button so you don't miss any of the upcoming episodes. We will have some in the off-season, so rather just have them in your inbox rather than having to look for them, right?
Yeah, it's a blast. I'll be sad once the Super Bowl's over and we have 6 cold months of football-less life. And as always, it's a fantasy world. We're all just addicts in it.
Thanks, addicts. Enjoy the Super Bowl.